table at the back, which we've been collecting food and also clothing for the Salvation Army, and well, we're going to be looking at doing something. The first thing we're going to do, and apologies if you saw this on a Thursday night and also this morning, but you're going to see it again. Would you like to run the PowerPoint for me, please, Stephen? Diane, could you just knock the lights off to let us see it a bit more clearly? Thank you.
This morning, saw a world full of trouble. Now I thought, how do we ever get so far down? And how's it ever gonna turn around? So I turned my eyes to heaven. I thought, God, why don't you do something? Well, I just couldn't bear the thought of people living in poverty, children sold into slavery. The thought disgusted me, so I shook my fist at heaven.
Proverbs chapter 1, verse 32. That's come through a bit loud. Could you just turn the volume down a bit, Stephen? Thanks. We looked at this on Thursday night. Proverbs 1:32, it says, "For the waywardness of the simple will kill them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them." Complacency is being satisfied with how things are. a desire to say that we don't need any more. There's no need to do any more. There's no need to try harder. But God says that it's foolish. Being complacent is foolish because decay is built into everything that we've got. Things wind down. Things wear out. People age. Things change. Also, it's built in us to do something. It's built in us to work. It's God's idea. Genesis chapter 2 verse 15 says, "The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it." At the very start of the thing, we were there supposedly going to be doing things. Complacency is destructive. Complacency can wreck a church. Complacency can kill a church. Doing nothing is not an option. What I said just over a week or so ago bears repeating. From Jeremiah 29, 4-7, talks about the exiles being taken away from Jerusalem and taken to Babylon. God says, settle down where you are because you're not coming back anytime soon. What he says is, marry, have sons and daughters, find wives for your sons, give your daughters in marriage so that they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in number then, do not decrease. Also, seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I've carried you into exile. Pray for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. People have been dragged away from the homeland. They've been mixed with a load of strangers, different languages, different religions, different customs, different way of doing things altogether. They wanted to be home, but God said, settle where you are, because that is going to be your home. He reaffirms that he was the one behind the exile. But then he goes on to them say, in verse 7, also seek the peace and prosperity of the city that you're in. Don't do it down. Don't laugh at the misfortune that they're experiencing. Don't criticise them and run them down. Ephesians 4, 29-30 talks about the words coming out of our mouths not to be unwholesome words. It says this, don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you are sealed for the day of redemption. Tearing down hurts others, but tearing down hurts God. You know, he says about when you've given a cup of cold water to anybody, it's as if you've done it for me. But the reverse is true. What he's saying is, I'm experiencing what you're doing to other people. And when you criticise other people, God is feeling it too. If we hurt others, we hurt God too. And he says, don't tear down the place that you've been put. Don't sabotage it. Get involved and do it good. In the book of Daniel, we have the four people. There were many more, but it's talking about four people there. Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael and Azariah, although we know the last three is Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego. Why we remembered their Babylonian names and we kept Daniel's Jewish name, I don't really know, but that's how it goes. They were given positions as ministers over the province of Babylon. Daniel held a high position in the court in Babylon itself. They worked for the good of that kingdom. They worked to make it prosperous. You know, when they were trying to get Daniel, because the Babylonians were very envious of his position, when they were trying to get him down, they said, he's not doing anything wrong. He's doing everything good and well. In fact, the only thing we can get him on is that his religion is different to ours. They were doing what God had told them to do. They were working for the peace and prosperity of where they'd been carried to. It's not just a case of making things okay, it's a case of getting involved and making it good in the society that we're in. You know, I mentioned before about the Tolpuddle Martyrs who started the unions. They were Methodists and they were led by a Methodist lay preacher. And he was looking after the welfare of people who were having wages cut and cut and cut so that profits would go up and up. Does that sound familiar? Keir Hardie, the first leader of the Labour Party, was a lay preacher. He was driven into his political activism by his faith. What do we think of politicians? Not very high esteem. So Keir Hardie said, in a similar sort of setting, we'll make a difference. We're going to do something. The motto, or one of the mottos in Barnsley, is love where you live. And that is really biblical. That's what God says. Work for the place that you're in. He tells us, because if it prospers, you will prosper. Common sense. He says, get involved and do something. Something must be done. But as Matthew West pointed out in his song, it's very easy to say, someone else, not me. Easy to leave it to others. In Matthew 9, 36 through to 10, 1, this is what Jesus said to his disciples. When Jesus saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. That's the end of chapter 9. He's telling them to pray to send out workers. What happens in chapter 10, verse 1? He sends them out. They were the answer to the prayer that they'd been praying. Jesus said, something needs doing. Go out and do it. But what? What can we do? The different reactions. One is, I can't do anything. Who am I? We overestimate our inability. Yeah? We overestimate our inability. God says different. He says you can do something. He says you are important. You are valuable where you are right now. And do you know what? God has put us here. As it says in Esther, for such a time as this. This is our time. Our time to do something. So you might feel that you can do nothing, but the fact is you can do something. But then there's the other thing, as Julie mentioned this morning. Sometimes it can seem like there's too much to do and you get overloaded, like, how can I make a change? It's the same story. We can help one. We can't do everything, but we can do something. We can be involved in our local society. We can be involved with our local community. We can be involved with our church. You hear stories where something's happened to somebody, maybe a child's died or somebody's had cancer or something, and that person gets involved, yeah? And they do something. People who would consider themselves ordinary, not out of the way, not any great shakes at anything, but they get involved. Suddenly they're inspired to do something. And we need to do something. We also need to do something in church. And in this, we're not trying to make people feel guilty, like, oh, I'm not doing anything, or I'm only doing this. We're seeking to encourage. You see, God doesn't make you guilty to make you work. He encourages you to do what you can do. He encourages me to go and be more than I am, because he's working with me. The church is a body. The church is people. The church is us. In Ephesians 4, 11 to 12, this is what Paul says. Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ might be built up. The work of the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers is to equip, to make ready for works of service. And that's what we're aiming to do. God says, get my people ready to do something. And the time is now. As Jesus said to his disciples, don't say it's going to be in a few months, the harvest. The harvest is now. We can't put it off. We can't delay. We can't think about it. Let me come back to this at a later date. The time to do it is now. Ecclesiastes 9 verse 10 says, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. It's a possibility. We can do something. We can be involved. There are things for us to do. and God is working with us. We look at people who do amazing things, and do you know what? We can do even more because we've got God with us and it's his idea. We often quote it, Jeremiah 29 verse 11, where God says, I have plans for you. Plans to prosper, not to harm. Plans to give you hope and a future. In Ephesians 2:10 it says, we are God's handiwork created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God prepared in advance for us to do. God has already got it laid out. He's planned, he's purposed, and he says, you can do something. There's something specific and tailored. Anybody ever had a tailored dress or suit? I haven't. I've been one of these people who goes off the peg, can't afford anything else. But you know, nothing fits like a tailored piece of clothing that's specifically designed for you. This idea of one size fits all, unless it's elasticated in every single point, it doesn't, all right? There will be bits where it's a little bit too tight or, you know, not tight enough. Like with me, for some reason, I put it on and it's the cuffs are coming past the ends of my arms. Maybe I'm, you know, a negative orangutan, you know, with arms that are too short. My legs are slightly too long, so I walk around with a sort of gap between the bottom of my trousers and my shoes because they don't fit. I'm not a regular size, but none of us are. If you have a tailored garment, they take that into account. They will measure, they will fit, and they will make it fit. It won't need a stretchy bit here or a sort of tucked in bit there because it will have been made to fit, fit for purpose. And God's plans are like that for us. It's not a one-size-fits-all. It's not a case of, well, 99% of people do this, so you get in and do it as well. It's a case of, I know exactly what you are, what you like, what your dreams are, what your ambitions are, what you're good at, what you can do, what you can't do. And I tailor my plans to suit you exactly. His plans and purposes are set and fixed. And it's a case of stepping into it. Because it's perfectly tailored to us and our abilities. God has plans for us to do something. But what? But what? To be honest, I can't actually tell you. It needs to be God who says what you can do. You know there's things that we've got running at church? If not, have a word with us. Maybe one of those things will fit. Maybe they won't. Maybe there's something else. Maybe you need to give it a try. Maybe you need to step out. Peter went out of the boat and he didn't sink. Somebody else may well have. He sank later on, all right? But at first he got out and he walked. Do you know, it's not wrong to fail. It's not an offence punishable by death. We can get things wrong, but try. Do you know, it's so much better to try and fail than not to try at all. Let's get involved. Let's do something. Maybe it's something new. Maybe it's something different. Maybe something that God has laid on your heart that we need to be involved with. Something fresh. Whatever it is, you listen and take the opportunities. What your hand finds to do, do it. Because in it, God stretches and God develops and we grow. It can be scary, it can be challenging, but it can also be very much faith enhancing and it can be exciting. If you're bored at all, the chances are that there's more to what is going off than you're experiencing right now. Things need doing and we are the people to do it. Things need doing. And we need to do something.